Colin, big ideas are wonderful. Big ideas change the world. Big ideas traditionally have changed the world for the better. You're worried they could change the world for the worse.
We've seen it a couple occasions, and using Facebook's 15th birthday this week, it is one of those occasions. It started off fantastic. Who could argue with connecting the world? But subsequent to that, there have been lots of issues. And this is not the first time we've covered great tech going bad or things we didn't think of at the time. But this week, at least, we can say there is something now that can help, hopefully, help not just the big, massive companies, but any company consider some of the ethical implications of what it is they intend to do. And it comes from the rather impressive-sounding Institute for the Future.
Ooh, that's be true.
Yeah. And they call it an ethical OS. So just for a little bit of context here, Facebook in those 15 years, nothing. Mark Zuckerberg sitting in a dorm room, 4th of February 2004, 2 billion users now on Facebook, over a billion each on WhatsApp, Instagram, and Messenger in 15 years by anybody's standards is phenomenal. You would assume there would be some mistakes made. But when a company, when anything is that large and has this kind of influence over our lives, parts of it that we didn't know we were even sharing with Facebook, then a small mistake can be disastrous. And you might think like, well, that's modern living for you, isn't it? This comes with the times. No, it isn't. Because if we go back to 1815, then Mount Tambora's eruption in Indonesia changed the weather so that the following year, certainly in Europe, was known as the year without a summer. It happened to be the year that Mary Shelley was taking a holiday in Switzerland. The weather there was so bad, they couldn't go out and do the usual things they might have done in summer, and they set themselves a challenge to write a book. Shelley had recently seen some of the work being done by science, pushing the boundaries on what it was, and they noticed that electricity had an effect on human movement. She was taken by that and a little worried, and wound up writing Frankenstein's Monster, a consideration for what happens when science for science's sake doesn't take into account what could go wrong. Now, if Mark Zuckerberg had a copy of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein in his dorm room in 2004, I doubt he would have thought, what's the downside of connecting the world? But that's what he had. And here we are, 200 years later, we have global warming to replace the Mount Tambora explosion, and we have these large tech companies with massive capabilities of changing the world in the same way galvanism was then. That was the guy Galvani who found the thing. When you say you galvanize, move to action, it came from stimulating with electricity all back in the day, should you wonder about it. So the way I hope we can cover this, Bruce, is there are 14 scenarios that they give you and 8 risks that they identify. We're not going to be able to get through all of that. So
I was about to say, well, you carry on. I'm going to cross the road to the pub. But
that would be ambitious. No, it's a considerable document. It's good 70 pages long. So I've taken 2 of the scenarios. Of the 14, we've actually discussed quite a few of them. So these two are slightly novel. And then from our conversation, I'll mention, you know, the kind of risk zones. So the first one is that an insurance company, medical insurance company, is looking to give you a better insurance, possibly even free insurance, if you're willing to say, look, install this little device. They call it a smart toilet, and we have touched on this before, so that every time you use it, depending on which person in the family uses it, it will be able to just check your urine and see that everything's all okay. That sounds like a great deal. You're going to get coverage, and you're going to get early warning should something go wrong. But what they don't tell you is that part of the agreement you make is that should anything not be looking after, i.e. you said you didn't smoke and we're picking up evidence that you do, or alcohol or anything else that's sort of not looking like you're living this clean life that you've professed to be, they have the ability then to kick you out the program or to diminish your returns. Now, when you buy that health insurance, you would assume it's going to cover me for when I can't or when I did something wrong. Yet we get, you know, sucked into it. So the scenario here, let me ask you, would you say no problem, bring on the smart toilets because it'll keep a close check on us?
It's so interesting because I've recently started engaging with a particular rewards program which shall remain nameless. And I am finding, to my personal disgust, that I've become a lemming. And I have started being a compliant little sod. I'm, as a result of it, driving more cautiously. I am walking more, standing more, I'm doing as I'm told, which is not something I've ever been guilty of before. So I might be tempted to do so, because I think we've been softened up for a future where we are micromanaged more than we've ever been before. and we're quite willingly submitting ourselves. As I'm speaking, I'm thinking what an idiot I am. But yes, okay, I'm admitting being part of the cult.
Yes, and you know, it's not to say that these things won't happen and they're not a good idea. Let's just go into them with our eyes open. And for the marvelous companies coming up and devising these things, please be honest about what you're looking to do. So here's some of the risk factors involved in this thing. And the way they suggest companies approach this is identify the risk factors and look for the signals that suggest the thing that you try to avoid might be coming real. So the first thing you mentioned there is that you're starting to become compliant. They're starting to get you to do things, which initially is, you know, all for your health benefit. Driving slowly or at the speed limits is a great thing. But if you start becoming overly zealous about driving, you know, the getting too fastidious with it, then risk zone two here is the addiction and dopamine economy. And this is the kind of things that, you know, technology. The
addiction and dopamine economy. So I feel good about doing good and behaving good, and I really enjoy it so much that I become overly good. Come on.
Well, you become a wet robot. You just are absolutely in somebody else's thrall, and that's not very good. The other one is this notion of a surveillance state. We covered that not so long ago with China looking to say, let's get everybody to behave better by watching them all the time. Well, upsides, yes. Downsides can be used against you. The next one was data control and monetization. When I'm sucking up huge amounts of information, very, very personal information, information that directly identifies you, and medical information, you can't ever say, hey, ignore that or get rid of it or go away. This is something that is going to follow you around everywhere. So you've got to think carefully before you start sharing that sort of thing. And then the final one in this scenario is the implicit trust and user understanding. You go into it saying, I'm going to get a great watch and I'm going to get a smart toilet and it's all going to be subsidized. And what do you have to pay in return? And these are the considerations around that scenario. Again, I'm not trying to suggest that anybody's creating anything bad. Just
yet.
You very rarely think you're going to build something bad. And then before you know it, oh, my monster's rampaging through the village and doesn't seem to like me very much. So let's move on to that next scenario then. And it imagines a world where drones are going to do deliveries. And we really are reliant on just getting our stuff sent to us. It's so easy to buy online. Now we need to sort out that last problem of having delivered. And the drone companies tell us, I tell you what, I will give you free drone delivery if you don't mind us using your home as a bit of a flight path. And when you get a couple of people in a road together and they say, cool, we can use us as flight paths, whatever else. And the drones say, cool, then all your deliveries are free. Oh, by the way, there are obviously cameras on the drones to help them see where they're going. And you're kind of happy with us capturing that information and using it as we need to, you know, to optimize flight routes and things like this. Little do you know that part of what's happening with those drones taking pictures, they can see in your backyard and say, oh, Bruce got a new car. Bruce doesn't have a swimming pool. Bruce has all these other goods and things. And before you know it, you're getting lots of very targeted information that says like, wow, it's amazing. Marketers these days, they know I've just mowed the lawn or haven't mowed the lawn in a couple of weeks and what they're looking to do about it. So on the face of it, free deliveries by drone, good thing, bad thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. I mean, what are you giving up in return for a service? There is nothing. As my late grandfather used to say, you get nothing for nothing, nothing for mahala.
You don't. In fact, very often, the thing that you pay with is you, and the bit about you that is so important is your data and, you know, you being the product. So this one doesn't have specific ones of the ones we haven't mentioned, but I'll run through some of those that we haven't yet. Truth, disinformation, and propaganda is one of them, and that one we've certainly seen a lot. Our intention to simply give everybody a platform to be able to give their point of view and tell the world what's going on can be used by very many other people to change our view of that world. Economic and asset inequalities. This is kind of what Davos was sitting trying to resolve every year, I suppose, and are failing because every year they come back and they say, wow, we've gotten fantastically rich. And everybody else seems to be hoping to scrape by. And technology, certainly, when it's concentrated into the hands of the few, then you have Amazons and Googles, and you don't really have much opportunity for that to be able to spread out. Machine ethics and algorithmic biases. This is the AI machine learning element. It's definitely going to happen. It relies on massive data sets. If those data sets have got inherent problems in them, or the algorithms themselves were set up to search for certain things that possibly weren't properly thought out, that's what's going to get us. And then the final one is the hateful and criminal actors. And again, this goes almost to that first one. When you create these platforms, give everybody access, everybody can do and interact with everybody. What's to say that people aren't going to be nasty? And the thing about all technology is the notion that it works a little bit the way fire did when we first discovered, or the good old blade, you know, the thing we first found for cutting. You can cut things to give you food, or you can cut things to kill someone. And fire, you know, used in the same way. So technology doesn't have a natural good or bad bent, but we do. And we get to decide whether or not we're going to allow the tools to be used for the purposes they were intended or not.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem that you face with that. I mean, you want progress. Progress comes at a cost. You can choose not to participate in progress, and you can be a Luddite, and you could have missed the first, second, third, and fourth industrial revolutions. Or you can sacrifice some personal freedoms and partake in the progress of the world as we see it today, and that's a good and noble thing. But at some point, I can't help but feel that we're going to turn around when it's too late one day and go, we gave up a bit too much for not very much in return. And again, without being too dramatic about it, that is a real concern for lots of people.
Yeah, and it's a classic, like all these other things. You were talking a little earlier about, would we sit in an autonomous car and would feel very sort of uneasy about doing that? Well, initially, we'll be very uneasy, then slightly uneasy, and all of a sudden, we'll be very happy to do it. And that's how these things change. Mark Zuckerberg, 15 years ago, did not imagine to be continuing with what he was doing now when he said, let's move fast and break things. But he did move fast, and he did break things, and now he's hoping he can change that.
Colin Cullis, All Philosophical on a Wednesday evening. Thank you, Colin. Fascinating insights into the way in which the world is changing and the fact that you've got absolutely zero control on it, over it. So do you just get on the bus and suck it up, or do you try and resist it? I mean, there are lots of people who try to take themselves off the grid and try not to be noticed. Is it worth the effort? Are you one of those people? I'd love to hear from you this evening. You could phone us from your landline. Maybe send us a smoke signal.